So, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful night where you draw us more deeply into the mystery of your self-giving love in the Eucharist and your presence in the people gathered. Pray, Lord, that you might open our hearts to your presence and help us to recognize your saving action in our lives. Help me to break open your word to your people. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm reminded of a friend of mine that I knew many years ago who had a heart transplant. And that whole experience of him up to the time that he had that heart transplant, where he thought he was actually going to die, and we'd anointed him for his death because he was ready to enter into glory. He was very ready to go to the Lord. And when we anointed him, we thought the next time perhaps we'd be seeing him would be in glory if we were to join him. And I got a call from the hospital to say that he'd gone into intensive care, and I thought, oh, here it is, it's the beginning. And when I went to the hospital, he actually said, an extraordinary thing has happened. When you left me and after you anointed me, the doctors came in the next morning and said, we have a compatible transplant for you, for your heart. And he actually said, no, not me. I've made my peace with God. I'm ready to go. There must be others here who have been waiting. They said, you are the most compatible for this donor. We'll give you 20 minutes to make a decision. Life or death, eh? And of course, as he talked it through with the doctors, he took the option of the transplant. I saw in that man someone whose life now, and he's still alive, is completely given in service of the Lord. He knows why he's been given life, completely given for the Lord. I also think of the person who was the donor, in a sense who gave up life so that he might have life. For me, it was the kind of most tangible experience in many ways of what Jesus speaks about. What he speaks about in the Eucharist. You know, take this. Take this bread. This is my body, given for you. It's the most tangible experience of coming close to this, what we celebrate so often daily, if we can manage it, to this God who's not far from us but close to us. A God who's always sought to be close and to liberate his people from oppression. That whole Passover, the context of John's gospel tonight is in the Passover feast, where the people remembered from one generation to the next, year after year, the saving action of God, liberating them from Egypt, liberating them from oppression and darkness. And it wasn't something they looked back nostalgically, but they saw the liberating action, the action of God in their own lives as they reenacted sacramentally this Passover feast. They saw this the action of God in their lives today, as they celebrated. It wasn't some sort of memorial in the past. It was what God has done, yes, in the past, but continues to do with his people. And the early Christian church very quickly picked up the understanding of that blood of the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, in the story that we read in the first reading. They very quickly picked up that blood which death passed over, so that they were liberated to move into this life, this journey with God, into freedom. They very quickly picked up that this was Jesus, that this was the blood of Jesus, that this was the one who was revealed the love of God. And very quickly they were drawn into this reality that God wasn't far off, that God was amongst us. God, who created us out of love, wanted to show us what this quality of God's love is. You know, we know that God loves us because Jesus came into the world and became one of us in solidarity with us, became human. Our humanity is divinized, in a sense, by the very presence and action of God in Jesus. But what shows the quality, the unconditional, the excessive love of God is Jesus coming for us and dying for us on the cross, pouring out his blood for us. A self-sacrificing love. And the Corinthian church that we read from, where Paul is talking about the cup and the one bread given, they thanked God for it and broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This is a memorial of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, the cup of the new covenant, my blood. And yet the context around that, what was actually happening in the community, in the Corinthian community, was that Paul was actually trying to draw them back to some sort of order, because there was actually division in the community. There was actually people who were eating plenty at this love feast, this agape meal, and others who had nothing. And so there began to be these classes and distinctions and divisions between rich and poor, between insiders and outsiders. And Paul was saying there could be nothing further from what you've just done in this action of Jesus giving his body and blood. It's given for all. He comes to break down all those divisions, all those barriers. There's no room for jealousy or competition. There's no room for anything that divides the body of Christ. He spoke very strongly about, doesn't he, about the one cup. Because it's nothing so doesn't symbolize the Eucharistic life as a divisive life that speaks against and works against the unity in Christ. Whether it's a level of the priesthood, whether it's leaders in the community, whether it's various parish communities, people working together, people working in an archdiocese, nationally in the church, nothing so isn't sort of a contra symbol to unity than when we move in a divisive way. Because the Eucharist, essentially, it's Jesus that builds the community. And this love, this sacrificial love, is reflected, isn't it, in the gospel tonight. The beautiful text where Jesus knew his hour had come, and that it was time for him to pass from the world, from this world, to the Father. That those who had come to know him as the Lord and Master, as the Son of God, as the Messiah, the Christ. How scandalous it was that he would begin to get down on his hands and knees and begin to wash the feet of his disciples. It was a scandal. That's why Peter protests, "Not me, Lord. Don't wash my feet." Because he didn't understand what this action would mean until he saw Jesus on the cross. That it wasn't just a physical washing, that Jesus was washing away the power of sin and death. Jesus was cleansing and committing himself. It was another way of expressing his total self-giving commitment to his disciples, to each one of us. And just in our lives, isn't it just a little scandalous that the transcendent God who comes to us in Jesus would come to wash our feet? Because what perhaps scandalizes us is that, as I have done to you, you must do to one another. That there are no divisions, there are no barriers, there's no insiders or outsiders. There's only this servant authority that welcomes and heals and cleanses. When we come to the Eucharist, here again we see this, the transcendence of God in Jesus coming to us in this sacramental way, in bread and wine that becomes the body and blood of Jesus. Scandalous that he can come to us and give himself to us and live in us and divinize us and cleanse us and heal us and set us free and liberate us and renew us and give us new hope, a new life, a new joy. So we see how that action, when we come to the Eucharist, how it's such a contra symbol, contra gospel, so counter to that whole action of what we happens to us in communion when we don't go out and become, as Pope Francis says, missionary disciples who bring the mercy and the love and the healing of God to the many who aren't here tonight at this altar, to the many tonight who wouldn't even be thinking that they'd be welcome at this altar. That's what would be most scandalous. That if we who are believers and know this love, this sacrificial love of Christ poured out for us in great mercy and forgiveness, who gets down and washes our feet, that would be scandalous, wouldn't it? If we weren't able, as people carrying the very life of Jesus, if we weren't able to at least again, try again, to invite them to come and encounter him. Yeah, first in us, but then to draw them into the very life and healing of Christ. So tonight, let's open up our hearts to this love of Christ, this sacrificial love. Let's pray for the grace in these days for us to journey with, to stay with him, to ask for the grace to be with Christ, so that with him our lives might be raised up and poured out as he pours out his life, as he empties himself for us and for our world.